that. I want to turn our attention back to the broader market here as we are continuing to digest and bring you live coverage from the Yahoo Finance live coverage of the Fed's Jackson Hole Symposium. Of course, Brian Chung walked through the latest comments we got from Esther George. But on the economic front, we also got the update on unemployment, the initial unemployment claims coming in slightly above expectations at 353,000, analysts expecting exactly 350,000 there, but still near the pandemic lows. And for more on what that means for where we're at in this recovery and what it could do to the Fed's timeline, I want to bring on our market guest here. Candace Banks on Fiera Capital Global Asset Allocation Vice President, Portfolio Manager, joins us right now. And Candace, appreciate you taking the time here to chat. I mean, we're watching these headlines. Esther George maybe sound a little hawkish and maybe moving up that timeline to reel in the Fed's asset purchases. But what do you make about that language and maybe where the recovery is now?
Yeah, well, clearly the markets today are focusing on those hawkish leaning comments from both George and Bullard ahead of tomorrow's highly anticipated speech from Chair Powell. We're not expecting a formal definitive announcement tomorrow, given the deterioration in the macro landscape since that July meeting when the taper debate really unfolded. Obviously, the Delta variant, a major downside risk, bringing into question the outlook for the economy and clouding the outlook, quite frankly. So we think this will see Chair Powell tomorrow, take somewhat of a cautious and patient approach, not providing that definitive guidance, but laying the groundwork for an eventual taper later this year once the Fed can get a little bit more of a sense as to the economic outlook given these developments on the COVID front.
Yeah, how should investors be maybe navigating that? You think about so many unknowns, not just on the COVID front, but also how the Fed might interpret what's happening on the COVID front and what we've seen play out, because the market's still near all-time highs in the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ. I mean, but volatility's down. The VIX is pretty low relative to where it's been. So, I mean, what's your sense of maybe how much skittishness still remains here?
Yeah, well, in the last few weeks, the markets have really been striving for direction. And I think that is a result of those risks that have reemerged on the COVID front. Like I said, what does this mean for the strength and the durability of the global recovery? All of this happening at the same time that policymakers are preparing to rein in all of that massive stimulus. This is a big adjustment for investors, particularly at a time when valuations are extremely elevated and, quite frankly, priced for perfection. So we think that in the near term, some of these risks could potentially leave markets susceptible to a near-term pullback.
If that is the case, though, I mean, when we think about how this has looked different than maybe prior years around the temper tantrum as the Fed prepares to reel in their asset purchases and what we saw earlier in the pandemic, I asked our last guest here on the show what the advice might be there to navigate volatility if it hits. If there's certain sectors you like in the way that the market's been churning, what would those be?
Yeah, so where we see the pockets of opportunity are in that cyclical value space, the sectors and regions that are closely tied to that recovery and reopening narrative. So financials, resources, industrials, these are the sectors that led earlier this year in the first quarter. But of course, since the COVID developments have deteriorated over the last few months, we've seen that growth, more defensive bias take hold. So should we see a pullback, this would be a great opportunity to get into those cyclical value-oriented sectors that are tied to the fortunes of the global economy. Because in the long term, this is where we see outperformance taking hold, and particularly in the context of more attractive valuations versus that technology slash growth space.
As you said, as much as it's been good to hear some comments coming out of other Fed officials, the big one that a lot of people are going to be listening to tomorrow is Fed Chair Jerome Powell. And talk to me about maybe how much of a tightrope he's got to walk and what you're expecting to hear maybe about the look forward or, the updated outlook when it comes to inflation being transitory here, as there's still a pretty loud minority there, I think, on the other side of the camp.
Yeah, well, it seems that the regional Fed presidents are the more hawkish leaning members, where Vice Chair Clarida, Chair Powell have been erring on the side of patience and dovishness, wanting to see how the economy unfolds and, of course, that substantial further progress condition, very important as well. So our sense is that policymakers, and in particularly the senior officials, will want to see more progress on the employment front. So I think this is where the August employment report in early September will be very important in getting a sense for the next step. So that's why I think that it's premature for that formal definitive announcement tomorrow. There's still a lot of questions about the recovery, particularly in light of that deteriorating macro backdrop since that July meeting. So we'll have to watch the economic data, the economic response to the latest COVID statistics. And I think by September, we should have a better sense. And at that time, I could see more definitive guidance as to next steps, but inevitably do expect the taper to commence in late 2021.
All right, Fiera Capital Global Asset Allocation Vice President Portfolio Manager Candace Banks, I appreciate you coming on here to chat with us today.